So you join me today in the beautiful city of Liverpool, where I'm staying for work from a hotel room. But fortunately, I've managed to hook up with Mark across all those miles. So, hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And how about you?
I'm doing very well, actually. The weather is very nice today.
Oh, good. That's great. So, rather different kind of episode this week because I'm away for this work thing, as I say. But we have a couple of things that we need to discuss, talk about. And the first of those is the announcement, of course, of the Yes, I suppose it's mini tour, isn't it, really? Spring dates leading to their annual cruise to the edge. So I'll just read a little bit out from the yesworld.com press release, I suppose it is. Band to be joined by Alan Parsons Live Project. So we'll come back to that in a minute. And the four shows in Florida and one in South Carolina. The band will perform their classic hits. So this is not exactly the full relay concert or anything like that. Their classic hits, tickets for these dates, a precursor to the band's North American fall tour to be announced in the months ahead, go on sale to the public tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this as soon as it's released. So, of course, Steve Howe, Alan White, who we know will be playing a bit more, Jeff Downs, John Davison, Billy Sherwood, and Jay Shellen. So it's a nice quote, one from Steve Howe. We can't think of a better way to lead into our cruise to the edge than with five shows in the southeast. And Alan White says, Florida and South Carolina in the spring sounds absolutely perfect for a British band like us. Not sure he likes the oppressively hot weather too much. We look forward to seeing everyone for a night of Yes music, says Alan. Yes continues to deliver dynamic and unforgettable performances full of passion and musical virtuosity, songs that expand the boundaries of rock. So there we are. So I had a look, Mark, at what they've done before previous cruise to the edges. And originally, when they first were doing cruise to the edge, they did quite a few dates running up to the cruise itself. But then in 2017, there was only one show before the cruise to the edge, 2018, none, and 2019, none, as far as I can tell from ForgottenYesterdays.com. So is this a bit like the England cricket team? When they go abroad to play, they're always complaining that when they get to the first actual test match, they haven't had enough practice in the conditions. So is this a bit like that? They want to get ready?
I think it probably is because they seem to be sort of looking forward to it from what I get, because I'm guessing in the springtime in Florida, the weather is pretty nice at this time of the year when they're going to be going out there. So, you know, rather than the cold and rainy England, they'd probably be pretty happy to get into the sunshine and warmth of, you know, Florida and South Carolina. Now, I know Alan lives in the Washington state in northeast United States. So he's probably used to the more American style weather. But I think it has a lot to do with what you said. I think that maybe before they probably just, you know, didn't have time or they didn't book, you know, practices appropriately. But this time I think they just want to make sure that they're fully prepared and put on a stellar performance at the cruise, therefore, you know, doing some warm up shows beforehand.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, it does say there that there was probably a fairly standard maybe mix of music. But This does sound like a great opportunity, doesn't it, from fans' point of view, to make sure they can play the whole of Relayer. And, of course, that means the two other tantalising promises of Sound Chaser and To Be Over. But is it doubtful, do you think, that they'll run out with those?
I think maybe they would do Gates, only because they have done it before, and that wouldn't really be such a big, you know, should one sort of well practiced beforehand when they start. But I think they're going to probably try to keep a dozen albums, either, you know, Gates and the two others, and that's it. So I think they'd rather keep those as a surprise for the full tour.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, very exciting that we've got these chances. So the people around Florida, etc., have got the chance to see the band in the spring. So that'll be absolutely brilliant. So if you're going to those shows, and I know some listeners have already booked their tickets, let us know. And obviously when we get that far, it'd be fantastic to hear from you. So Cruise to the Edge coming up again. And the other thing we need to just mention, though, before we start talking about something else, is Alan Parsons. Now, I found out, again, from the fantastic ForgottenYesterdays.com, that in 1998, so this is a repeat sort of thing, of 1998 when Alan Parsons was on the same bill in the North American tour, so touring with Igor Khoroshev and that lineup of the band, doing Open Your Eyes and all that kind of thing. So he has played with Yes before. And the only other, if you know better than us, then please do let us know, but the only other connection between Yes and Alan Parsons that we can find is Alan Parsons was involved with the slightly dubious symphonic music of Yes album. What do you know about Alan Parsons' music, though?
I think of him more as a producer than I do actually as a musician. So I think that I'm more familiar with his work on that end of it than actually the band stuff. But once again, what I'm looking forward to is I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed, that they will do a Canadian date or two on this, and Toronto being one of them, that I can sit down and be in an environment where I can maybe absorb some of his music in a live environment.
And sadly, that's where we lost Mark before we had a chance to talk about the other very important piece of Yes news today. And that is that Dave Watkinson has released a book, vinyl EP record, and also news of the Accrington display, March to April to May 2020. So this is the paperback version of John Anderson and the Warriors, the book that we've talked to Dave about on the show. On the 28th of March, the paperback book will be released. On the 30th of March, John and the Warriors vinyl demos EP record will be released, very excitingly. And then the 27th of April, the Accrington Library display opening day and signing. And the 30th of May, Accrington Library display Warriors member signing. So this is all from a press release that Dave has sent me. So we already know about the book, but the new paperback version is also going to be released just through burningshed.com, and you can pre-order that now. I've already ordered mine. But perhaps more interesting than that even is the Lost Demos vinyl EP. So here's what it says in the press release about that. In these early recordings by John, we don't get the lyrics, wordplay, mysticism, or complex sounds and meanings which later became his signature. What we have here is a young man enjoying himself as a band member, trying to make a few pounds, travel, and to emulate the Beatles a little. In these basic beginnings, neither John Anderson nor Ian Wallace shine much, but what we do get are little signs and glimpses of their potential. This rare and exciting material came from various lofts and trunks around the world. Hidden away for more than 50 years, the condition of some of the material was very poor, having jumps, scratches, muffled, and even stopping completely. In my attempt to bring these recordings back to life again, I made the decision on a few tracks not to overproduce them, leaving in the crackles and blemishes. With others, however, I was surprised at how well and clear they came out. The band sounds very accomplished. You can hear how well practiced they were. The Warriors were among the best beat group acts at the time. Featuring 7 demo tracks from the band at different times in their career, from Lancashire at the rise of their local stardom to the ending months in Germany in 1967. 6 of the tracks are with the full band, John Anderson backing, and as a lead singer with just 1 track as an instrumental. This limited edition, just 500 of them, picture-sleeved, vinyl EP 7-inch record, is released on Plain Groovy Records in a coloured vinyl, a 1960s vibrant orange, plus in standard black vinyl format. Played at 33 RPM, this record tips its hat to the days in the 1970s when Yes would produce such an EP. This long-lost material gives the John Anderson and Yes fans a new insight into these beat music years. So side A has got Too Much, Can't Live It Down, and Summer Girl, and side double A, The Dollhouse Is Empty, Run to Me, She's Gone, instrumental, and She's Gone with vocals. It's researched, mastered, coordinated with images and production by David Watkinson and Chris Topham from Plain Groovy Records. So do get in fast. The test pressings have already gone. There's only 10 of those, or there were only 10 of those. But the other orange vinyl and black vinyl at the time of recording this are still available. But of course they will go really quickly. If you're in the UK, you might want to go to the display in Accrington. There'll be a small display in the town's library from the 27th of April to the 30th of May 2020 in celebration of the new book and vinyl record. So fantastic news for Yes fans and Warrior fans and John Anderson fans. And I do understand from Dave that one, at least, of the Warriors will attend that exhibition. So an amazing experience and a unique experience if you manage to get to Accrington for that. So a very different type of episode this week. We'll be back to much more normal things next week, I do hope.